Well, good morning. Feels inadequate to preach after that. Thank you all for that. Well, today is Pentecost, and so we'll be looking at this story in Acts chapter 2. And then we have one more Sunday kind of following the church calendar, if you're wondering. And then we'll be starting a series on the Sabbath. So for those of you that need permission to rest, come in June. We'll give it to you. but first, before we dive in, let's pause for a word of prayer. God, we are grateful together. God, we're grateful to spend some time this morning reflecting on that day many years ago when your Spirit first fell upon your people. And God, as we reflect on that, we acknowledge that your Spirit is here among us, and we pray that we might experience that anew this morning. Lead us and guide us, we pray. Shape us into the image of Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 11 says, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words." Now this comes right after the story of the flood. And so we see that Noah's family has now repopulated the earth, and they are scattered among the earth, and they have become like the nations and the people of the earth. And we see that because there's like this similar origin, that these people are very, very similar. And we see that this culminates with this idea that they had one language and the same words. Like there's this uniformity among the people that they're, no matter where they're from, they're able to communicate with one another because they speak the same language. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty cool world. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be to be able to like communicate with everyone? If you've ever traveled, you know that language in particular can be a really difficult thing in other languages. So a story about that. I did a semester abroad when I was in college, and we spent 6 weeks in Beijing. So during our time there, we were studying the Chinese language. And so it was towards the end of our time in China. One of my friends thought it would be funny, now knowing the characters of China, to write them on his forearms like this. And so he was being dumb and running around and like flashing it and saying China and Chinese and acting like he knew the language. It was, everybody kind of laughed at him, and they were like, oh, that's just him being him. And so the two of us were going somewhere. And so we get in this elevator in our hotel that we're staying in, and we're going down, and we stop on this floor, and the stranger walks in. And the stranger seems happy enough, and so we're heading down, and he looks over at my friend's arm and points at it and says something in Chinese, and my friend is like, yeah, and like says China in Chinese, and like all emotion in this guy's face leaves, and he begins to like scowl at my friend and just begins to go on this tangent in Chinese, and like we have no idea what's happening. We're just standing there like, oh my gosh, while this like stranger is yelling at us in Chinese, and we're like stuck in this elevator in the middle of China with this now very angry man, and we have no idea what is going on. And so my friend is trying not to bust out laughing, and I am terrified for my life at this point. So we get down to the end, and the guy finally says something and kind of does one of these and then walks out. To this day, we have no idea what he was saying, and it still kind of haunts me sometimes at night. What we could gather was that he thought my friend was like ripping China apart, and he didn't like that idea. In that moment, I really wished I could have spoken Chinese to at least apologize to this guy. Like, we weren't trying to be offensive in any way. But imagine how wonderful it would be to be able to speak the same language. Like, imagine how much we could do and accomplish if we all spoke the same language. I think we could do something so wonderful, so beautiful, that we could build something that would reach up into the heavens. Hopefully you're picking up where this is going. As they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad and from there over the face of the earth, and they left the left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So we have this story where these people from all over the earth are coming and gathering together to build a city. Like there seems to be this like sameness happening, which seems like a good thing, right? Like if you pay attention to the news, like it would be awesome if all people could come together to build something. But as we begin to peel back the reasoning and the purpose behind this, we begin to see some pretty impure motives. Because the goal for the people was to make a name for themselves. For them, this tower was like an idol of the ingenuity of humanity and how big and how awesome and how smart humanity was. And so what we see is God comes in and God knocks this down and he scatters the people and he confuses their language so that they can't do this sort of thing again. We see sort of this pattern as this thing is going up towards heaven, like the pride of humanity is growing, but as it is knocked down, like there is humility that is spread all throughout the humanity. Now, we often look at the story and we see this as like a divine judgment, that God wasn't happy with what they were doing, and so this was like a divine sort of judgment on this human idolatry. But I think we can also think of it as like a divine blessing. Because we see in Genesis, after humanity was made, that God told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the ends of the earth. And so what God was actually doing was a blessing, enabling humanity to fulfill its call to fill all the earth. So Genesis chapter 11 continues on, and it's all genealogy. And then we pick up in Genesis chapter 12. And right away, the next story that we read says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed.'" So we have this story where God scatters and where God confuses the people. But then immediately after that, we see the story where God is beginning to form the people of God, beginning the story of now bringing the people back together to bless all people. But he begins with one nation, one people, one tongue. So we fast forward a few thousand years now, and we come to what we just witnessed, right? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. So for the Jews, Pentecost was this event, this celebration that was really, really important for them. This was a major holiday. It was one of three holidays that called for a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So if you were an able-bodied person, like you were called to travel to Jerusalem to be with your other Jews to celebrate this event. Now, one of the significance of this day recalls when Moses was given the law. Moses was given the law 50 days after the people had been freed from slavery in Egypt. This was more than just like them getting a law, but this was like recalling the moment when they weren't a people, and God delivered them and made them a people. That God had given them this law, and now they had a new way of being in the world. And what we see with Pentecost is that this is another new way of being in the world, but now a reimagined one. It's no longer an insular and uniform sort of way of being, but as we'll see in just a moment, it's vast and it's a diverse way of being in the world. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans?" Now, this phrase Galilean is like synonymous with like the term hillbilly today. So are all of these like uneducated, like backwoods people, like now speaking languages that we can understand? How is it that these uneducated people, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" So we have this moment where all of these Jews are together, and we see that God's Spirit comes upon them, and they begin to testify to the mighty deeds of God, the resurrection that has taken place around them, that there is this new creation that is being birthed in their midst. And they begin to hear this message in their own native language. And as this is happening, we see that there's somebody that pops up and begins to like explain what's happening, and he begins to list this long, long list of nations and all these difficult words that I had to look up how to pronounce this morning. 14 nations are listed here. And this isn't just a random incident. These aren't just random details, because what's happening here is Luke is letting us know that there's something deeper happening. That what's happening in this moment with this long list of nations is that it's representing the four corners of the earth as they understood it in the first century. For these first century Jews living in Palestine, like this would have been their neighboring regions, all of these nations that were listed. And this was like to the fullest extent of their imagination, to the ends of the earth. And so what they heard here was that this was like the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that they would be a blessing to all nations. They also began to understand it as like the fulfillment of what Jesus told them to do, to share the good news in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to all the ends of the earth. Now we began with the story of Babel because I think there are some pretty significant parallels between these two stories. In fact, people often call the Tower of Babel like the backdrop for the story of Pentecost. So we can think of Pentecost as like the antithesis of the story of Babel and of the effects of the Tower of Babel. It's not so much like an undoing of the effects of Babel, but rather a redirecting and a redeeming of that event. So what we see with the story of Babel is that the people were trying to go up, that they were trying to build this tower, that they were trying to raise themselves up to the heavens. But what we see with Pentecost is God's very Spirit coming down, that there wasn't a need to go up because God himself was stepping down into humanity's midst. The effects of the story of Babel is that the people were scattered all over the land, that these people who had migrated to this one area were now sent all to the ends of the earth. But what we see with Pentecost is that these people from all of these nations are now being united. What we see with the story of Babel is that there were like this confusion of language and people no longer shared the same words. But with Pentecost, we see like this translation of language and everybody can hear in their own native language. The story of the coming of the Spirit is like the main point of the story of Pentecost. What we see when the Jews are coming to town for Pentecost, this original understanding of Pentecost, is that the people were coming to a distinct place using this one tongue. That Jerusalem was the confines of where God dwelt. But in Acts, we see this being blown up completely. That God is no longer centralized, that there's no longer just one tongue, the people don't have to speak Hebrew, but rather that this movement of this new creation can go to the ends of the earth with each nation's language being represented. There's no longer a need to build up to heaven because the presence of heaven has come down to dwell among us. Now, all of this leads to a vision for God's kingdom. And God's vision for the kingdom is a movement of unity in the midst of diversity. So we see all of these people from these different nations with all of these different languages, and yet they seem to be unified in this experience with God's presence coming down among them. Now it's important to acknowledge that unity does not mean uniformity here. Togetherness is not the same as sameness. Because when we talk about uniformity, we see that this leads to idolatry. Because, like, everybody wants everybody else to look like them. And so we see the story of the Tower of Babel, where all of these people are coming together to show how impressive, like, their joined forces are. Uniformity is also like the language of the empire, imposing one's culture upon the other, not caring who was there before and what their distinctions were, but coming in and imposing your will and your unique social settings. Uniformity we can think of as like the brand of the empire, but when it comes to the brand of the divine, we see that diversity is that. And the result then of all of this is like a new humanity and a new community. This new community and this new humanity doesn't diminish or remove or compete with people's original cultures, but rather it honors them and is created in light of it. Because having all of this diversity, having all of these differences and being united actually like testifies to the power of God's Spirit in the midst of that. So what does this mean for us then? If unity and diversity is the image of God's coming kingdom, then unity and diversity is something that we should seek and we should begin to value now. If this is where the trajectory of the earth and where the trajectory of humanity is going, this is something that we should begin to see a need for in our lives now. So in her book, Disunity in Christ, Christina Cleveland says that at one point in her life, she had hoped that heaven would look like the city of Chicago. So she talks about Chicago, and she says, Chicago is like one of the most diverse cities in the world. You have like almost a representation of every nation, every culture, every ethnicity present in the city. But she said what she loves about Chicago is that it's like segregated into neighborhoods. So like, if you want, you can travel into like an African-American neighborhood, or you can travel into a white neighborhood, or you can travel into like an Italian neighborhood. Or you don't have to. And she said at the end of the day, she can head back to her neighborhood where she feels comfortable and where she experiences sameness. After discussing like Chicago as heaven, she says this: the blueprints of the household of God look nothing like the blueprints of our own culture and social cliques. If we want to know how to embody the household of God, we need look no further than to Jesus. While on earth, Jesus modeled this new reality by connecting with every type of person around. Conservative theologian, liberal theologian, prostitutes, divorcees, children, politicians, people who party hard, military servicemen, women, lepers, ethnic minorities, celebrities, and so forth, and inviting them to be part of his group and to work together to bring wholeness to their cracked and crumbling world. After Jesus ascended into heaven, this continued to be his modus operandi for doing miraculous things in the world. The New Testament writers repeatedly and emphatically make the same point. The unified church is the vehicle through which the kingdom of God is powerfully communicated to the world. As we look around our world, like, we see that it is so incredibly diverse. There are so many different ways of living out this humanity that we have. But Christina Cleveland says that, like, when we are able to find unity in the middle of that, like, that is all the more all the more witness to the kingdom of God that is coming into this world. So here are some really simple and practical ideas of how to begin to stir up a yearning for this diversity in our life. The first one is to diversify our entertainment. So maybe that means reading diverse authors or TV shows or movies with diverse casts or different types of music than you grew up with. This can be racially or gender or culturally. If you've never done this before, I would challenge you this next week as you grab a book or turn on a TV show or begin to listen to music, think about who created it. Because if you've never done this before, it can be really overwhelming to realize that, like, everything that you are taking in for entertainment often looks an awful lot like you. And there's no shame in this, but it's just something to be mindful of. This is something that I just did this past week and just realized how overwhelmingly my world looks an awful lot like me. And this is something that I'm trying to be more intentional about. Another thing we can do is diversify our experiences. So maybe instead of going to like the American diner or the Chipotle Mexican cuisine, you go to like a real Mexican cuisine, right? Or go to one of the places that within like a half hour that has been owned and run by people who have come from a different country. It's amazing how many different tastes are out there, and a lot of them are better than our American cuisine. Or when you travel, go to different places other than like Northeast Ohio. Those have been some of the best adventures that Allie and I have gone on, where like we travel like a local and we run into all of these crazy experiences that give us all kinds of good memories. And now, some of these things may not become your favorite, and that's okay. But just simply allowing ourselves to learn to appreciate this diversity is really, really important. So I leave you with this picture because I think that this can be a glimpse at a vision of the kingdom that is coming. And that is our concert from with Jerusalem a few weeks ago. Every time that we do this and every time that we're together with them, like it, I feel myself getting emotional about like, this is like a foretaste of the coming kingdom. People who have very different cultures and very different tastes, but coming together and saying, like, we want to, like, enter into this together. So we take this picture and we multiply it by every race, every nation, every culture, and we then begin to get a fuller glimpse of the kingdom of God. I recognize that we talk about, like, diversity and all of this an awful lot, but Acts chapter 2 is often described as the birth of the church. And if we, the church, are wanting to be the church that God calls us to be, then I think it's important for us to recognize where the church began, where the roots of this thing began, and recognize that there was this incredible unity among all of this diversity, and that we, the church today, are called to continue to embody this in the here and now. Our world is, as we look around, is so broken and scattered. But what if the church could be a gift of unity to our world? What if we could be part of a movement that brought people together and celebrated the diversity that we have? What if we could be part of a movement of God's Spirit that is bringing unity in the midst of all of this beautiful diversity? And what if we could be a witness to the coming kingdom that is bringing unity among diverse people and forming a new creation? Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the gifts of your Spirit. God, we give you thanks that among all of the diversity, all of the beautiful expressions of how to be human, that you have given us your Spirit, which brings unity among that, that we can experience that diversity in a way that represents your kingdom. God, I pray for us as a church that we can be witnesses to this unity among diversity, and that we can be a witness to the new creation, this new humanity, this new community that is coming forth among us. We pray this in your name. Amen.